Well, 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 here we go, folks. Here we go. It is the Daily Z podcast, and I am your host, Graham Zima. It is Friday, April 17th of 2020, which really doesn't matter anymore because days don't exist anymore. Welcome to the show. Like I said, I'm Graham Zima. In just a few moments for this special debut episode of the podcast, we're going to be sitting down with a good friend of mine, Kate, who you can find on Instagram at SophisticatedMMA, or I should say at Sophisticated with a K underscore MMA. She's going to be jumping on the phone to talk all things UFC 249 and how that situation sort of fell apart over the last month or so. So be on the lookout for that in just a few moments. First things first, though, got to do a few quick updates and whatnot, a few notes. This show, starting Monday, April 20th, so this upcoming Monday, depending on when you're listening, this show is going to be brand new Monday through Friday. Episodes will be up at about 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central. You can find this show wherever you get podcasts. Hopefully, we'll have it up on Apple Podcasts in a pretty quick amount of time. I know sometimes it takes a while to get up on these streaming services, but you can catch this show in the meantime on Spotify, Anchor, and then we're also going to be producing YouTube episodes as well. Outside of that, we just got a bunch of good stuff on the way. Let's not waste much more time, though. Let's jump into it. This is the Daily Z podcast. This is my conversation with Kate on the fallout of UFC 249. Let's dive in.
I'll make a brand new start of it in old New
On the phone right now, we have a good friend of mine, Kate, who you can follow on Instagram at SophisticatedMMA. She's a really good source to go to for MMA conversation, and really wanted to get her perspective on this crazy fiasco that was UFC 249 over the past couple weeks. Kate, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing all right, you know, like we had talked about beforehand, just getting by the best that we possibly can during this crazy pandemic.
Best to keep our spirits up, I think. I try to stay as positive as possible right now and just find the silver lining in everything.
Absolutely. It's all you really can do right now. Well, let's jump into it then. I want to go back to the very beginning of this whole fiasco that has been UFC 249. I want to start really with your thoughts on when sports all over the place started to shut down. Dana White really came out and said, look, we're going to remain persistent on Tony versus Khabib. But when was there a point where you started to think that the initial matchup of Tony versus Khabib was in serious jeopardy?
Honestly, it was when the NBA, when I got news that the NBA was like, nope, season's canceled, we're done, like, that's not happening. I was like, oh, you know, I knew that Dana was going to push it as long as he could because, I mean, just considering that the UFC is still very much in its infancy and it's, as much as he likes to tout, you know, how many regulations are in place and all these, you know, all these other things, it's still the Wild West out there. They're still kind of operating how they want to operate. So I knew that he was going to push it as long as he could. However, ever since their deal with, you know, ESPN and Disney, that's a whole different animal. Like, he's in bed with an entirely different entity than he was with Fox or on his own, or I should say on their own. Now they are beholden to this giant media conglomerate I as soon as the major sports started shutting down, I was like, I immediately had doubts that this was going to happen.
Definitely. And one of the things I thought was interesting about this whole situation was, you know, a few days passed, obviously the NBA and sports around the world started to shut down. We weren't really getting any clarity as to what the future of UFC 249 was going to really be. And then we had the whole Khabib situation go down, which was basically, for people that just need a little bit more context, Khabib Nurmagomedov apparently was informed by someone within the UFC that the event was not going to be taking place in the United States. So he made the decision to travel back to Russia. And then obviously the sanctions that went down in Russia basically made it impossible for him to leave the country. And that's why we had the whole Justin Gaethje be tossed into the mix. And what we saw, especially through social media, was some backlash towards Khabib and his decision to leave the country, and a lot of people placing blame on him for that fight falling through. What were your thoughts on that backlash? Was any of it warranted whatsoever?
Well, you know, for a minute there, I was kind of part of it because I wanted to, even though in the back of my mind I'm going, this is probably not happening, I wanted to remain hopeful. And of course, you know, if you talk to any, I feel like you can easily split most MMA fans into two camps, the pro Conor McGregor and anti Khabib, and the pro Khabib anti Conor McGregor. Like those are, that's, you can throw almost any MMA fan into one of those two camps. And so you had all of the people who are, you know, anti Khabib, and they just immediately tried to, you know, make this gigantic deal out of it. And then you've got the other people defending him, saying, well, he's looking out for his health, he's looking out for his well-being, you know, he didn't think the fight was going forward, so why wouldn't he go back home and be with his family? It made perfect sense for him to go back home. I think where I came in was when, you know, he started saying that he couldn't leave Russia, and I'm going, what? Russia closed its borders to keep, you know, to keep people from coming into the country and keep the virus out of the country. Given how much money he had, I was very quickly to point out, he could jump in a private jet, you know, if he really wanted to. And then, of course, you've kind of got that little voice in your head going, does he really want to? Is this him trying to run away from the fights? I don't know. It's all total speculation on our part as fans. No one's ever really going to know. I think that when any fighter backs out for any reason, even if it is an entirely valid reason, there's going to be backlash. MMA fans are not the friendliest. Not the friendliest people. We tend to have very, very strong opinions on things. And, you know, spend 5 minutes on any MMA forum online and you're going to get some really strong opinions. I'm of the mindset that while I totally understand why everybody was upset, I was certainly upset. At the same time, you know, it's never warranted to ask a fighter to put their lives, their own well-being on the line for our entertainment. I mean, it should always be like two guys willingly stepping into the cage to engage in a fight. It should never be somebody going, well, I don't really want to do this, but I guess I have to please all of you people. Like I don't agree with that sentiment. I know that, you know, you could poll 100 MMA fans and you're going to find, you know, 10, 15 who do have that opinion. So I don't think that all of the hate that he got for that was warranted. Of course, we're disappointed. And of course, you know, some people are going to display that maybe in a not so healthy way. But I, you know, he had his reasons.
Did you actually believe
when they announced Gaethje versus Ferguson and there was sort of this new hope that maybe we were actually going to get some fights on April 18th, did you actually believe that it was going to make it to that date, that this whole card was going to actually go through?
I think what I believed was that Dana was going to try every possible avenue to keep fights going. I believed that if there was a possibility, if there had been that possibility at all, that he was going to try his damnedest to get these fights to go forward. Did I hope for it? Absolutely. There's no sports to watch right now. I will take anything. I would take Henry Cejudo v. Jose Aldo, as much as I don't care to see that fight happening. I would take that fight right now if we could have a fight. But I don't know. I guess I didn't get overly excited because, again, going back to the fact that, like, this is ESPN, this is Disney, this is a huge global company that if they decide that they don't want to have their names attached to this, they're going to make him pull the fight. So, you know, it was kind of every day I was just kind of waiting for the announcement of the cancellation, and it happened. I want to say it happened pretty soon after they announced the entire fight card. I was putting together some social media stuff, and I had literally just loaded a bunch of things in, talking about different fighters who were announced on the card, and I didn't get to post any of it because it got pulled almost immediately, which was, you know, of course disappointing, but not unexpected.
Yeah, and let's say UFC 249 did happen. Let's say they did go through with it. There's been some back and forth debate as to how successful it would be from a financial perspective. And when I say successful, I mean, for me, for a Gaethje versus Ferguson, I think best case scenario you're looking at, you know, considering that there are no sports out there, we're still at a full price pay-per-view for the event. And the card, I mean, at least in my opinion, I don't know what your thoughts were on it initially, but I thought it was a pretty stacked card. I mean, even if, let's say, there was no pandemic, this was still a pretty solid pay-per-view. But my question is how successful it would be from a financial perspective. I think best case scenario, you know, if everything lines up the way it should, it would be in the somewhere between 600,000 to 700,000 range. I think even with no sports, this event doesn't cross a million pay-per-view buys. But what is your thoughts? How successful do you think that this pay-per-view would have been if everything had gone through the way they had planned?
I don't know enough because I've never been one of those people's, like, you know, tracking how many pay-per-view buys. I watch a lot of the post-fight press conferences, never paid attention to the numbers, did not care. So I'm not going to be able to offer a whole lot of opinion as far as the numbers are concerned. However, what I thought, because I actually had this conversation with somebody, like, right when this thing was getting going and the UFC was still going, when, you know, I watched the fights with no audience in Brazil, which was, was weird. But I remember watching thinking, you know, they're going to get a ton of visibility if they can get this going. Like, the amount of new fans that they could have grabbed for the sport, I think, would have been huge. Because even if people didn't purchase the pay-per-view, this still would have been the only thing that ESPN really had to report as far as live sports. It would have been the only sport that anybody could really talk about because nothing else is going on. You know, I know that there's a lot of, again, there's a lot of back and forth in the MMA community when it comes to pay-per-views and when it comes to, you know, people finding streams and stealing it. I think we would have seen an unprecedented amount of people streaming the thing. That would have been nuts. But considering where most people are at financially at this point, you know, tons of people have lost their jobs. I don't know how many people would have considered, even if it's the only sport going on in the whole world, I don't know how many people would have been like, oh yeah, I'll totally fork over, you know, 69, 79, 89, however much this pay-per-view would have ended up being. I don't know how many people would have forked that over happily, but I do think that had it gone ahead, he would have gained some traction in getting new fans to come to the sport, because more people would have at least seen, you know, they would have at least seen the highlights, or they would have heard about it. And maybe the next one would have been more successful. I don't know. But, you know, given that he's still trying to make something happen, I think we could still see that. But I think I've read a few things as of this morning saying that Disney is really pushing back on him doing anything at all, which I think is unfortunate.
Right, and one of the things that we also have to keep in mind nowadays when we talk about numbers and pay-per-view buys, et cetera, is the fact that we don't really get that information the way that we used to. With the ESPN deal, you know, we're never really going to know how well, unless it's a situation where it's like a Conor McGregor fight and it breaks some type of ESPN Plus record, we're never really going to get the full perspective on what those numbers actually are. So at the end of the day, even if this fight went through and, you know, had some type of success or some type of failure, the chances of us getting that information is pretty slim.
And we all know that Dana just loves to talk up the numbers. There have been a couple instances where he's reported, you know, earnings from a pay-per-view and several people are coming back with, no, I don't think so. So I don't know that it would have mattered what the numbers were. I think Dana would have really, you know, I think he would have really pushed the narrative that the pay-per-view did really, really well, regardless of, you know, it exceeded their expectations regardless of what was projected or what it actually did.
I totally agree with that. I mean, just from what we've seen in the UFC's history, that seems to be a common trend with Dana White. But there's one last thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I found it pretty interesting. I know that you're pretty active when it comes to social media, especially in the world of mixed martial arts. There seems to be this rift that has been popping up. I don't want to name names, but I'm sure you've probably seen it in some capacity. A rift between the mixed martial arts media, who pushed back against the booking of this event, saying that it was going to be a danger to fighters and the staff that would be working this event. There seems to be a rift between them and then some of the fighters and managers that work within the UFC, you know, saying that the mixed martial arts media should keep their mouth shut, and if they don't have anything good to say, they shouldn't say anything at all. Do you see any long-term...
Well, I mean, first you kind of have to look at, you know, who's speaking and who's making the arguments and where they're coming from. The MMA media, while there are still quite a few independent people, you know, people with independent shows, you know, people making commentary on their own, the large majority is somehow tied either to UFC or to ESPN and Disney. Again, when you look at who they're tied to, they kind of have to take that corporate stance of, this isn't a safe atmosphere, this isn't good for the fighters. You know, they do kind of have to be that voice of opposition. And then on the flip side, you've got the fighters and the management who, they want to get paid. You know, they want to work, they want to fight. They're working to support themselves right now, just like everybody else. And when, you know, when you've got a fighter who's making maybe $20,000 on a fight, and the majority of that is going back to their management, to their training, to their nutritionist, to their rent, I mean, they're left with very little. I mean, that's been a talking point in MMA since it started. So they're sitting there going, we need to get paid. We need fights to happen because we don't want to lose our jobs. We don't want to not be able to do this. And then you've got all of these media personnel trying to say, yeah, but this isn't safe. So I totally get where they're coming from, saying that it wasn't safe for the fighters. My opinion was, let's figure out a way to get people tested, keep them as insulated as possible. Like, Dana's idea of having a fight island, I think, is about as ideal of a situation as you could hope for, because you could essentially test everybody, fly them in, and they're quarantined. You know, as long as nobody's flying in who's infected, you're okay. But going back to your question, let's think about how many times, you know, there has been a media personality speaking out against or having an inflammatory opinion about something in mixed martial arts. It happens. I mean, think about how many fighters have had an awkward moment with Ariel Helwani. I mean, I know you didn't want to name names, but I'll name names. I don't care. You know, he's had his fair share of awkward moments over the years, or fighters thinking that he doesn't like them, or vice versa. It's that kind of a sport where people throw words around all the time. Sometimes there's completely honest feelings behind them. Sometimes it's just to gain some, you know, some traction on social media, or to gain some attention. I mean, we've all seen that happen. So do I think that this is going to be anything permanent? No. I think that for the most part, everybody in this industry kind of has the ability to move forward when words are said. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've seen two fighters go back and forth on Twitter, then they have it out in the cage and everything's fine. Yeah, there are some longstanding grudges, but for the most part, I think that if anybody does continue having it out with somebody in the media, it's more or less because that's the game that they're trying to play. You know, they're trying to stir the pot and get all eyes on them, you know, just because that's a way to do it. But there's been, I mean, this has happened, you know, every single fight we have, there's somebody saying something that somebody doesn't like. And overall, it hasn't really damaged anything entirely. I mean, and again, that's just my opinion, just the way I see it. I don't think that in the end, once this gets back to normal, I think that everybody's just going to be so glad that it's back to normal. I don't think that they're going to spend a whole lot of time saying, well, you said that, you know, we shouldn't have fights and look what this did to us. And I don't know. I don't really see that being the focus once everything gets up and running again.
Well, Kate, before I let you go, I do want to put you on the spot real quick. I want you to give me one, because I know, I mean, you consume a lot of fights and, you know, very active in the mixed martial arts world, why we brought you on today. I want to get your, if you have to choose one fight to watch during quarantine, which one are you going back to? I mean, there's so many fights to choose from the history of mixed martial arts. Which one are you watching?
Oh, man, I was just thinking about this the other day. I probably would go back and watch both Poirier v. Max Holloway. Okay. Poirier v. Max Holloway and Adesanya versus Gastelum, because that was on the same card. And when that fight happened live, I was in Florida, and I had just flown to Florida that morning, and I was I had to get up at 4 a.m, and I was exhausted, and my Wi-Fi wasn't working, and I kept falling asleep during that fight, and every time I'd wake up, something was happening. And those are two of the most amazing fights that I had ever seen. I mean, definitely in the top 10, and they were on the same card, which was unreal. So I'll be going back to watch those.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Kate, thank you so much for stopping by today. Once again, Sophisticated MMA. We'll leave all the links to social media in the description below. So if people are interested in following, you can find that out there. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. You too.
Once again, big shout out to Kate at Sophisticated MMA for taking the time out to talk all things UFC 249. I know this is going to be a topic that comes up at some point next week because over the last couple days, we've been getting some updates from the UFC claiming that they're going to be putting on an event, I believe, on May 9th. I believe that's the targeted date, somewhere in that time frame. And we'll see how all of that transpires. Florida could be a potential option for that card since Florida is now deemed sports an essential business. But like I said, it's all going to come out over the next couple days and weeks what's really going to happen. Outside of that, like I said, subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me at GL Zima on Instagram. And then you can also find me on Facebook at Graham Zima. Like that page. That's where we're going to be posting episode updates. If you have any suggestions for topics, if you have any questions or whatnot, we might do some type of mailbag episode if we get enough questions over the next couple weeks. You can email us at GrahamZimaMedia@gmail.com. That is where we take all of your questions and comments. Outside of that, I got nothing else for you. We'll see you back here on Monday. Have yourself a good and healthy weekend. Peace.